Hey guys, welcome to Sled Talk. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I would like to take a second of your time and introduce this season's title sponsor is Bikeman Performance. So they've decided to jump on board and help push the podcast. And if you're unaware, Bikeman is the elite level when it comes to aftermarket performance parts on your sled. So be sure to check out their site, link in the description. And without further ado, let's jump into the show.
Oh boy. All right. Are you guys ready to roll?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Ready to roll. Back for another one. Sled Talk listeners, welcome back to part three with Smasher and Shay back with us again for another episode. Again, I know I've said it every time, but Smasher, I appreciate you making the drive up here to be here. It's been a hell of a fun day hanging out with you.
We're going to do it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Hold on, you said you were coming back next week, right?
Honey. I just quit. Yeah, it's great. I'm hanging out here with Sled Film and or Sled Film. How many? What is that? Like $10 a pop?
Yeah, dude, getting the branding off. Come on.
I'm gonna hang out here with Sled. I'm gonna go to Alaska on the Iron Dog. So, all right, love you. Yeah, I'm free. She just left me.
There we go. It's been a fun day for sure. So I want to start off this episode. We'll begin with your involvement with Boondockers and the filming and stuff. So, like, how did you get introduced to that? How did all of that come to be for you to be in so many films?
So in 2006, I've been riding with Team Summit. Team Summit had asked me, talked to me about, Dan Gardner and Boondockers coming to Reno, Nevada. Anthony Alberti and Shane Kelly had told me, hey, Dan Gardner and Boondockers coming to town on April 20th, as a matter of fact, on my birthday. And they were like, hey, you know what? Let's, kind of funny, right?
You were born April 20th? Yeah,
420, baby. No kidding. 420. Straight as an arrow, me.
Let's go.
Yeah, 420, let's go. So they said, hey, we're going to go up and film with Dan Gardner and the Boondockers crew. And all Anthony Alberti had said is, Don't wreck your sled before we get there. And I was like, well, what does he mean by that? So Dan, Fatty, Jeff Daniels, can't remember who else showed up. Anyways, they showed up to come film, and it was my rule. And I knew who Dan was. I knew who Boondockers kind of was. I know I do who Jeff was. Jeff Daniels, no idea. But so we get up there, and the snow is garbage, like absolute hard as this table. So we go up there, and I was just trying to impress, do whatever I can. I'm like side-hilling ice, jumping off solid cornices on my 05, just going for it. And Dan was up there, real quiet guy, just behind the camera, didn't say much. I watched Fatty go up the chute, and I knew it was bad. Watched his turbo sled come butt over tea kettle, coming down, parts going everywhere, just totaled the sled, wiped it completely out. And I was like, who is this guy? Like, what the hell is he thinking, And so, so watched him tow his sled out. So we rode all day with Dan and Fatty and those guys. And at the end of that day, I went home and, man, I can remember it like it was yesterday. My wife was laying on the bed and I was telling her about my day, saying, hey, and I had known Dan who he was from Sled Necks, just watching him do things, I just kind of known who he was. Mm-hmm. And, that day before we left, he was like, hey, let me have your phone number. So I gave him my phone number. While I get home, I'm telling my wife the story about my day. She's like, how'd your day go with filming? And I was like telling her, and all of a sudden my phone starts ringing. And I look, it was Dan Gardner. And I was like, look who's calling me. like a little kid, like, look who's calling me. I'm a big deal. Yeah. And so I answered it, and he was like, he just said, hey, we're thinking about filming. Do you want to come out? And so I had this buddy named Jeff Schauer, and I was like, hey, yeah, I'll come out. So I told Jeff, and so we made these couple of rides out. So it was, once again, opportunity arose, and every opportunity I seized the moment, just kind of like Eminem song, seize that moment. And so I seized that moment. Every time he would call, I'd go out. No matter what I was doing, my kids were young. I didn't have anything going on, and my wife would just say, go. Follow your dream, follow your passion. So I'd go out, and the first time I went out to film with those guys, we went down to Beaver. And like I was telling you guys earlier in the truck, is that our snow is completely different than Utah. Reno, Tahoe area, you got to pull this a little bit harder because it's a little heavier. You're pulling, you're yanking the sled. And in Utah, you don't have to pull that hard. Well, we had made it, I think it was like 1.2 miles from the damn truck. And I was going around, I was following a logging road. And I pulled really hard one way, and dude, I shot into a tree that was like 26 ounce round tree, and just center punched it. Bam! My whole thing caved in, and I'm embarrassed. And Dan was in front of me with another guy, Julian, I believe, or something, and then Fatty was behind me, and I threw my helmet. Dude, I was like a little kid, like just freaking out. I was so mad at myself, and he comes around. I was trying to yank my sled off the tree and get it, you know, like nothing happened, and I was like, I'm just done. Let me just go back to the truck. You guys ride all day. And Fatty, being the Fatty that he is, the guy that he is, he's like, no, just cut down a tree. So we cut down a tree and we put it in between the bumper, and we bent the bumper back and pulled the tub out. And it was such a deep day. Like, it was deep powder, probably 2 feet of, you know, Utah powder. And we shoved some T-shirts. Everybody took a T-shirt. A couple guys took a T-shirt off. We shoved it in the Dragon, in the Dragon hood to cover up so the snow wouldn't go in there and get on the belt. And away we went. We rode the rest of that day, you know, and that was my first encounter early filming with those guys. I still have pictures of my phone from it, and we rode. And then every time after that, you know, I'd stayed with Fatty for a lot, number of years. And then after that, Dan and I got closer and closer. And every time they would say, hey, what are you doing this week? I'm like, well, what are we doing? You know, so they'd invite me to go to Utah or to Colorado or to, you know, wherever, Wyoming, wherever. And I would just, I was gone. Didn't matter how much I had to drive. Like, I figured it out over the years. I probably driven to Utah over 125 times.
That's good.
You know, 125 times. Yeah. You know, I'd leave on a Friday, and I had a new job. I was coaching. I was going through an apprenticeship at my work. So I'd leave on a Friday at 3:34, actually 4 o'clock, right when I got off work. I'd drive. I'd get to Dan's house by 1:30, sleep all day. You know, sleep for a couple hours. Dan would wake us up. Then we'd go ride all day Saturday, and I'd go ride Sunday. And then I'd drive all the way home Sunday night, get home around, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock, and then go back to work. And I'd do that weekend after weekend after week, and just chasing the dream. And that's how my involvement with Boondockers became, you know. And then every time they'd invite me to a snow show, I'd say, yeah, I'm in. And I would just take a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and just kind of help and, you know, ask myself to be involved in it. And then same with our Utah premiere. I think after the second year, first year, Dan asked me to MC it, and I would MC our snow show, or our premiere in Utah at Broovies every year. He would, you know, sometimes he'd fly me out. Sometimes I'd drive out, and, you know, and he'd take care of my flight or whatever, pay me. You know, we'd raise, I can't tell you how much Dan raised for the Avalanche, the Utah Avalanche Center over the years, you know, through the Broovies and all our sponsors pitching in. And that's how Boondockers came about. And then eventually, you know, I just grew myself into something that I just loved and followed the passion. And, you know, it was a group of guys that we all had the same passion. We got along good, and, you know, we were pretty intertwined. So, yeah, that was my involvement with Boondockers. That's just the way it, all played out.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work. You know, I kind of took the snow shows, you know, my personality and just who I am. I think, you know, Dan kind of let me run with it. I seemed to have the personality to meet with people. Fatty was another good one. Fatty was always very involved with the public. Everybody knew Fatty. I mean, he'd been around forever. Dan was always kind of behind the scenes. He was kind of the brains. He was the one that would make everything run. You know, he's like, I always told him he's the Michael Jordan of Boondockers. He just, he was what Boondockers is. Without him, it just was nothing. It just was, it just who Dan was. He was kind of the leader. Fatty was, you know, kind of the second leader involved. And then, you know, it just fell into whoever was next. But it was just something that I had a lot of passion for. And Boondockers is just something that I really loved and I believed in. And whatever it took to make it go, I was willing to do it.
Hell yeah. What you got? You look like you got something.
Yeah. I mean, my, I think I have quite a few things, quite a few stuff. As far as like the filming aspect of things, like how did that go for you guys? Because I feel like, even sometimes, well, I mean, just the time we got to go out this year, you know, you kind of have to set up the shot, not necessarily set up the shot, but everyone kind of has to be on the same page. Like, hey, look, we're going up this drainage, but we need this person here, or we need that drone in the air to be there. Like, walk me through how you guys would go about doing that, or like, who would, okay, who's going to hit this, who's going to hit that, that sort of thing.
So most of the time, I think, you know, looking back at it, Dan kind of had like an idea. Like, he was pretty keen on whose ability was what, who, and who was crazy enough to try something, or who, you know. I feel like back in the day, Fatty and Dan kind of, you know, I was the gung-ho guy, so they would kind of, you know, take my adrenaline and my passion and see, like, Smash will do this. Mm-hmm. Dan would always do the big stuff. I mean, Dan just had no fear. Fatty was the more calculated, and then Fatty was always kind of my right-hand guy where he'd be like, you know, like I said earlier, Smasher will do it. Smasher will do this. Smasher will do that. Smasher, you got it. You know, Fatty was always kind of like my right-hand guy that would say, hey, you know, we can do this. But most of the time we'd come in, Dan was the cameraman. He was always the guy behind the camera. Fatty would help out quite a bit. Ryan Nelson. But if there was something that someone wanted to do, or you're riding through the trees and someone's like, hey, Dan, I got something back here. Everybody would come back. They'd set up cameras, you know, the drone as we got into it more, GoPros, and they'd say, all right, you know, go up and hit it. What are we doing? What's the plan? And then Dan would film it. If Dan was going to do something, then Fatty would kind of take over. Nick Reedy also played a big part later in life where he would be the still shot. Nick Reedy became, you know, one of the guys. Justin Cowett was also one of the guys later on in life. Longer into our career, but it would more be like you just be riding along, or Dan might have something, or Fatty might have something, especially when you go to Utah or something like that. But if we went to other places like Colorado or Idaho or something, you'd just be riding along and be like, hey, let's film this. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. But, you know, most of the times when I flew out or rode out to Utah, Dan and Fatty would already have something like, this is where we're riding, this is what we're doing. If you see something, let's stop, let's film it real quick. But it was quick. You know, usually it was really quick. Yeah, Dan would pull out the camera. A lot of times, like the clip you guys were watching yesterday where I was talking about, if you're stuck, you're stuck.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, I didn't even know how he was rolling the camera. Like, that was, so Dan was very, like, if we were all talking and chatting and talking trash, he'd pull out the camera a lot and just roll B-film and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The time where I was talking about, Dan's got a wimpy arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times that was just me filming. You know, I was going to film something, so, you know, off-candid camera and stuff, but yeah. That's the way it always worked. I mean, there was no, like, real production like that. If it was something really big and nasty, there'd be a lot of preparation time where cameras are getting ready and people are getting ready, you know, make sure everybody's safe, stuff like that.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. For sure.
But it was just, like, from my experience on, like, content days and stuff, you know, and obviously if you're going out, it's all about your intention too, right? Like, all right, we're going out to film a movie or get clips for the movie or whatnot, right? Like, everybody's on board.
Yeah.
And it could be interesting to deal or to try to get content, because obviously, you know, Sledson is a business, right? And content is a very, very important part and piece of that. And so, like, you have to have everybody on board of, like, all right, this is what we are doing specifically. And everybody needs to be on board with that. And you got to check with the camera and let people know what you're going to do before you do it. Let the camera, hey, heads up, I'm thinking this is the line of sight I see, you know, where, you know, and then let the camera guy be like, all right, I need to come from this angle, or I need to be over here. And it's, you know, just going through the motion of, you know, with Sledson and growing to get the shots and all the different, like, it's, there's a lot of work that actually goes into it behind the scenes that a lot of people don't really, you know, understand.
Absolutely.
And just the element alone, you know, obviously I wanted Jeff on for this episode to speak to this stuff, but, you know, filming in the backcountry in the elements is a pretty serious task in and of itself. There's, you know, with the cameras and the cold and the snow and the, you know, there's just so much going on, that it's the people that are doing it, and that are making these movies and doing those things, like, huge amount of respect to those individuals to pull that stuff off, because it's, you know, it's one thing to, like, scroll through from social media and, oh, that's sick. But it's the other, you know, to be it's on the backside of it, to actually see, well, just like for the podcast, right? When you walked in, you saw, like, the setup and how much actually goes into it versus when you're just listening or watching,
correct.
You know, it's no thing, but, yeah, a huge amount of respect for the content.
When
stuff,
you look at, like,
a lot of work.
Nick Reedy and Dan, you know, it could be 20 below zero, and they're pulling out their camera and they're saying, "Hey, hit this." And so now you're thinking, okay, this guy's hands are freezing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hit it. And I can remember, you know, Dan was obviously, he would walk like you could be like, oh, I'm gonna hit this, and then you'd go up and you'd write like, oh, I'm gonna hit this instead, and he would walk through the snow. I mean, he would wait. I mean, he was in phenomenal shape. I mean, the kid's in phenomenal shape, and he is a kid, and so he would walk through the snow and to get the shot. I mean, I think it was Boondockers 10. I was jumping this waterfall, and he was like hanging. I think if I could be wrong, but I think his girlfriend was hanging onto his arm, or he's hanging off just to lean over and get this waterfall
before whatever it takes,
just to get over the shot. Yeah. Just the shot, you know. Yeah. It's ridiculous amount that he would go through to get the shot, and you know, camera just doesn't do things justice. I mean, it really doesn't, and
especially slope angle.
Yeah. You know, I can remember, like, there was something in 15 that you guys just posted. And I can think through that, like, looking down on it, coming off and then side hilling and landing sideways and doing it. It's just, you know, you mess up and things go wrong. Dan and I and Fatty and Eric were in Utah one time, and we were filming for Boondockers, and Eric had driven all the way out from Colorado to come film, and it's never been done. Like, Eric just doesn't leave Colorado very often. Mm-hmm. So we were all excited. Well, so we leave. So the first day, I'm backing Dan's sled off my damn sled deck. I fall off the deck. I bend his damn steering post. I hurt my hip. You know, so that just started the day off bad. And so then they're giving me all crap. So then we get up there, and Eric has a problem with his snow bike. We're only like, I don't know, 15 miles in. Dan's sick as a dog, so we all decide, bag it, let's go out. So as we're heading out, Dan's like, hey, Smasher, go do this creek bottom. So I was like, all right, cool. That sounds like a good idea. So I go do the creek bottom. Well, I didn't make this waterfall. So I tried to pull the sled around and whip it. Well, when I jumped off the sled, I fell through the ice. When I fell through the ice, the sled came over on top of me, landed on top of me, pinned my hand, this hand, so far back that I thought it was broken. Well, I couldn't get the sled off me, so I'm yelling for help. Well, I could hear Dan kind of giggling because he didn't think I was really for help. Well, Fatty jumped down off the snowbank into the creek to help me. Well, Fatty couldn't get the sled off, so I heard Dan go, oh, my God. So he runs over, and they get the sled off me. Well, I was in so much pain. I still got scars on my hand. It broke my hand. I thought, it was broken. I was in total pain when I was laying in the creek bottom. I could feel the waters coming up. It was up to my neck. You know, so they get the sled off me. We ride 10 miles out with one hand. We get back. We go to the restaurant. I'm sitting with Eric and his wife and Dan and Fatty. My hand's swollen, and it's cut, and I'm like, I'll be fine. Well, that night we go back to Dan's. I can't sleep anymore, so I get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and pin it home, get home, and I call my wife. She's like, just go to the ER. You're fine. I go to the ER. My hand's broken, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's, you know, it's things like that that people didn't see or didn't know, yeah, and it's sure. Just, you know, you do, you know, everything is semi-calculated, but it takes that long for something to go wrong. Yeah. I remember Matt Inns getting caught in an avalanche that quick, you know, buried him. That was super scary, and that mm-hmm. should have been nothing. I mean, that was in the backwoods, and it just went, you know, real sideways real quick, and this is probably 15 years ago. And Shane Kinniston, he's another one that he's a crazy guy. I mean, that guy, the fact that he's still alive is amazing. I mean, he's done some crazy stuff, you know, but sometimes we have to calm him down and say, hey, you know, relax, you know, don't do that. So, yeah, that's, you know, those are kind of some of the things that people don't see behind the film.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that, and I feel like all the back end work too, like just the editing, I'm sure there's just like hours and hours and hours of footage that are not even used, right? Or trimmed or mm-hmm. whatever it is, right? Like cutting the fat out of it.
Yeah, you got
that's
you got
pretty crazy.
9 guys that are sending in GoPro or, you know, from a different camera, and Dan's going through that. It, oh, yeah. You know, they sometimes we'd send it, hey, get 4 minutes, you know, and then you see the film, you're where's that at? And, you know, Dan's like, oh,
don't dude, even.
If you only knew, yeah. if you no, only dude. Knew. But, man, he did, you know, over the years he did it, and I think it just wore on him and wore out. I mean, sure. Nick Reedy did it 1 year, Justin Cowett did it 1 year, and mm-hmm. it just, it's a ton of work. Getting music.
That's another thing. Who do you, does like, each individual writer pick their music? No.
Dan and Nick Reedy and Justin Cowett, maybe Fatty. Fatty also did a lot of it. I think they all kind of collaborated because Fatty and Dan live in the same town. When Justin did it, Justin lived in the same town. Dan was always seemed to be like the last man to view the movie and, you know, buying rights to it and stuff like that. So Dan went about it legitimately and
yeah.
made sure that it was 100%, you know,
yeah.
good to go. So. Yep. Same with Nick Reedy. So some of the songs that they picked were people that they would contact and they'd say, yeah, go ahead and use it. So, but there was a lot. I mean, a lot going into it, and then just sending it off to duplication and, you know, picking the cover shot. And, you know, his girlfriend, Dan's girlfriend, did a lot with that. Jackie, she did a lot with the cover shot. Like, they picked the cover shot. So, mm-hmm. You know, and as it seemed like as time went on, Dan and Fatty used to carry a lot of camera equipment. Fatty used to take pictures, and then it became Dan and then Jackie. And then my buddy Ben Burke, he shot some too. And then Nick Reedy would shoot some. So you just, whoever had the best shot is who got it basically. Yep. I think Dan, Fatty and Jackie usually pick the cover shot on who got the cover shot. So, yeah. Yeah. And when you got the cover shot of Boondockers, that's kind of
that's
a big deal.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that is a big deal.
That's a big deal.
Heck yeah. Everybody was seeing that.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
it's all nice. The snow shows, yeah. Everything.
Nice to be at a snow show and be like, hey, buy our movie. Oh, really? Yeah, that's me on the cover.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
That's me. That's me. Exactly. That's you. Oh, yeah, that's me. It was like 6,000 feet. I dropped it, you know, from McKinley. And yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
I don't know if this is possible for you to pick or not, but what was the most favorite top five?
Boondockers five.
Okay.
I
was going to say a specific pick your favorite movie, but then pick the favorite out of all of the trips. What was the number one most favorite riding trip for any one of the movies? What location was. Or if you have to go top three to make it easier, that's fine. But so your favorite overall movie is number five?
Of Boondockers?
Yeah. Yes.
Boondockers 5 was pretty darn good. Boondockers 5 and 15 were pretty – those are probably my two favorite movies. Okay. Boondockers 5 had probably some of the best music in it. I think that was one of my first years. I think that was 2011. Somewhere in there, yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. And then favorite trip? Oh, man.
And why? Snow conditions, friends, location, the sleds.
I think one of my favorite trips was when I first got with Boondockers, going to Canada with Dan, Fatty, Ryan Nelson, another buddy of ours, Julian, and we went up there to film with Davidoff. And it was the first time I ever rode with Davidoff. And it was one of my first trips with Boondockers. They invited me to go to Canada. One of the guys that I was allowed to go with couldn't get into Canada.
Oh.
And so I had to take him back to Mark Messenbrink. You know who Messenbrink
is? Yeah. Yeah. Out of North Idaho?
Yeah, he's a loser.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a complete loser. He's one of my good buddies, he thinks, but he's really not. No, he's a good buddy of mine. But anyways, I had to take this kid back to Mark's house because he couldn't get into Canada. And Fatty and Dan had taken off to go in. And so I stayed the night at Mark's. The next morning I woke up, and Mark, nice enough, took this kid to the airport to fly him so he'd get home. And I drove back in. And, I rode with Davidoff and Dan and Ryan and Fatty all weekend. And that was one of my bigger drops was ever done was in Canada. And it was with Davidoff. And it was like I was like looking down at this thing going, no way, dude, this is big. And they were waiting for the perfect sunlight, and Dan and Fatty and Ryan were down low, and Davidoff was sitting with me on this rock. He's like, Smasher, you got this, buddy. You got to just go for it. You got it. It'll be sick for the film. And I kept looking over the edge, and he's like, no more looking over the edge. Come sit with me. And so we sat, and then somebody yelled, I think Davidoff said, hey, it's clearing up, and 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and he's like, Smasher, go. And I walked over my sled, and he's like, go, Smasher, go. And I remember thinking, like, I was going and I was hitting the brake. I was like, no, I don't want to do, like, I don't know. And then next thing I know, I dropped off this, and I hit. And when I landed, I'm like, I'm done, I'm retired. Oh, like, I don't want to do this no more. And, you know, it came down, and Dan's like, you know, Dan being him, he's like, nice drop.
Nice.
You know, a nice way to go. You know, and then Fatty, you know, and so, but that was probably, one of my most memorable. I've had so many, though, so many trips, but sure. that was a good one. Like, I think that's when it all came to bond. Solidified. Like, with Fatty and Ryan and Dan is when, like, the friendship really started to grow, and then I became part of that Boondockers unit. Like, okay, I'm in, you know, we're gonna have a good time with this.
So what movie was that drop in? Was that
I want to say that was in 4 or 5, Stud.
Yeah.
I think so. It had to have been. I mean, there's been so many.
there really has.
Like, I've got them all on my. I've got them all on my wall. Every movie I was ever in, I put them all on the wall, and I can think of certain drops I've done or certain things I've done. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It kind of all starts to blend together. You're like, what was sure. that with that,
yeah,
that
yeah.
one?
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of memories between Dan and I and Fatty. Just so much trash talk, like good times. Yeah, there was a lot of a lot of good times. I say more times than not, Dan got the best of Fatty and I, but it was always, it didn't matter if you'd slept 20 seconds or 15 hours, didn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, whoever was the top dog, whoever was elite number one.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, unfortunately, Boondockers Movies has come to an end.
Yeah, Boondockers Movies come to an end. Dan, you know, he kind of let some people run with it, and I think it just came time for it to end. You know, everybody kind of grew apart, and everybody kind of went their own direction. A lot of people are in different parts of their life, and it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, that happens.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, it's amazing the number of people that have reached out. They wanted to know that loved it because I think, you know, we were just a group of guys that were just having a good time.
Sure.
And I meant that we weren't no frills and thrills. It was just a group of guys that very cohesive, and we went out and just, you know, laid it all on the line just to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it grew into something. I think, you know, Dan built it into something very big. It could have been something pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
But it just ran its course, and it's time.
Sure.
Time for it to move on. It'll be a thing of the past. And
yeah. No, it's definitely sad.
Good memories, though.
I know you say, like you guys were just a group of guys, but I feel like there was probably a good portion of, I don't know, hopefully some viewers, you know, that grew up on you guys. So thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for it.
Yeah.
We appreciate it for sure.
The influence.
Yeah. It was dope.
Oh,
it was fun. Fun watching, yeah.
It was cool to see how, like, the leader, like, Dan was always the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Dan was always the leader. You know, it was just, you know, just certain people have that quality about him. Yeah. And Dan was very, you know, like, hey, let's do this, let's do that. And it always worked out. Like, and then we'd let, like, Anthony Alberti, sometimes he picked a couple of times to go somewhere, and it turned into just a bad idea. So, you know, you'd rag on that guy and say, okay, well, he's never allowed to do that, you know, or, you know, it was just a difference. You know, there was always a leader, a co-leader, a funny guy, a serious guy, you know, guy that screwed things up. You know, Shane Kennison was always the guy that would do something just off the wall. Like, you're like, this is bad. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that Shane would be like, hey, I want to do something. And Fatty would go and destroy it just so Shane wouldn't do it. So that he's like, no, we're not going to let Shane do this.
Mm.
You know, or where Dan would be like, you know, pushing him like, hey, Shane, go do this, go do that. You know, so it was always cool to see who could do the dumbest thing or when someone would do something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you were talking about filming. So sometimes, you know, you'd say, Smasher, go do this, and then I'd get stuck. Dude, the whole crew would pack up and be gone. Like, they're okay. Well, he screwed that shot up.
Done.
Yep. We're done. So you'd dig yourself out, and everybody'd be moving on to the whole next section. Like, you'd be, like, trying to get out so you could get up there and do the next film. You're like, oh, man, I'm missing that.
Yeah.
So you'd be digging as fast as you can, but no one would help you.
Yeah.
You know, you just go. You're like, you can't – you got one shot. And then sometimes, you know, you'd go up and say – you know, like, Fatty, go do this, and Fatty gets stuck, and Dan would be like, Smasher, go,
past
go.
Him,
go take his line, Yeah. And then someone take your line, you're like, hey, what the hell's wrong with you, man? That was my line.
Yeah.
You know?
Better.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it was always a competition. It was always a competition.
Oh, yeah, that's healthy, though.
It is.
Oh, I miss it.
Yeah, I bet.
Wild.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you have any other Boondocker specific?
Maybe not Boondocker specific, but maybe if we wanted to go a little further back to Team Summit, I don't know.
Sure.
If you want to do that. Yeah, I know I've talked to you a little bit about it. I think one of my favorite videos was one of the Team Summits with you. Who was it? Shane Kelly, Jesse O'Rourke,
Anthony Alberti.
Yeah. Probably, I would say, my favorite snowmobiling video of all time was Elevation. I don't remember exactly which
Elevation
one it was.
Elevation 5, Elevation 4.
Yeah.
When you're talking trash.
Yeah. The first time I'd ever seen Shane or Jesse, and I was like, hey, man, like younger kids, right? And they just kind of like meshed together. I was like, oh, that's, you know, that's something cool. That's something I see within like my friend group. And then kind of, smashing on Alberti a little bit made it that much more funny.
It was always Jesse and Shane against Anthony, because those two were Skidoo guys,
mm-hmm,
and then we were Polaris guys.
Yeah,
so it was always a who can do this? Yeah, it was always like that. And there were some good times back. That was like one of my first rides was with those guys. That was those were some good times back then. It was when I first met them, and It was more of like a funny video. I mean, no.
Yeah, it was.
Serious. I mean, Jesse was going pretty big back then.
Thank you.
So was Shane. Shane was going pretty back then. That was when I first got into the film industry, so I was kind of feeling my way through it. Anthony was into Total and Sleds.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure in that movie he sent his sled completely off a cliff.
Yeah, I think I was my son was there. And my son was like, why'd you do that? And we were like, because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
He sent it, dude. It was gone. Mm-hmm. But he was always, if Anthony was going to wreck a sled, he was going to wreck a sled. I mean, there was no if, and, or.
Climbing something good. Yeah.
Actually, Jesse O'Rourke had probably one of the nastiest climbs on a naturally aspirated sled out of California one time. And it was basically, you either make it or it's real bad. And he did it on old Skidoo. And it was pretty sick. It was like an elevation 3, elevation 4. And I remember watching. It was in the Hero Snow, but still, I mean, there's severe consequences on it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, when I first met him, he did this drop. So his brother died a while ago, but it was me. We were filling out for Team Summit and Boondockers, and Jesse did this massive drop. It was like one of the biggest drops I'd ever seen off of a cornice. And he did it, and he landed while the film crew wasn't filming. So Jesse, and it was Jeff Aiello, and he's like, well, Jesse was like, I'll go do it again. So he did it again, and, you know, Dan Gardner was there, and Dan's done some of the biggest drops I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan was like, I wouldn't do that in this snow, and Jesse did it again. Well, hurt his back. And Jesse's brother was still alive then. He was like, Mom's going to be pissed. And he had to be helicoptered out because he hurt his back pretty bad.
No.
We had to leapfrog his sled out, but yeah. Yes. But, you know, talking about these old stories, man, this group and this friendship go back, you know, like I said, 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot. That's 18 years of snowmobiling and just history and just fights and bragging rights and who topped who and who's the baddest and who could do this, you know. And it's a lot of fun. You know, now we're all getting older and a little bit, you know, we're all beat up. But it's cool to still have that friendship with a lot of these guys. Yeah. Everybody's got kids now, so it's been a good run.
Yeah.
It's not over, though.
Oh, no.
I hope not.
You still got a lot left.
I got to do a 6 triple backflip.
I hope to see a backflip from you.
No.
No?
Dude, my body hurts so bad. Like
the last ride.
Yeah.
That'll be Smasher's last ride.
To walk out of this room and walk down the steps, dude, that I'm like dreading that. I'm like, I gotta get up, and you know, I better have a drink of my water right here. Walk out of this. I mean, it's just
That's funny. What was Davidoff like, man? Was that just unreal to watch that guy?
Davidoff was his passion for the industry. He just was super passionate,
mm-hmm.
like just loved life.
Yeah.
Super fun. I mean, you know, to be with him for a few days is super fun over and over and over. I mean, it got a lot, but he was just so passionate. And the crazy thing about that guy was he would climb. I mean, you've seen some of his climbs, right?
Yeah.
Climbs on like, on a VMAX.
Yeah.
But we climbed one thing, and I was like, well, let's go down. He's like, no, man, we can't go down that. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, no, man, we got to go around, eh? I'm like, I'm going to go down here. He's like, no, no. And he'd go all the way around the mountain range, but he would not go back down. He was deathly afraid of going down.
Back up. He was just up.
Straight up. And I went up there in 2010, and I was on my Dragon, and he goes, Smash, go climb that. So I started to climb up it, and I'm climbing and climbing and climbing. And after about 4 hours, you know, I still been climbing. No, I'm joking. But after a while, I had been climbing, and I was thinking, man, if this thing slides, I'm dead. And I remember turning around, and they were so far down there. I was like, I haven't even touched this.
Little specks.
Yeah. And what he was climbing on a VMAX. Like, you watch some of the stuff and you think, oh, that's not that big a deal. Man, times that by 20.
Yeah.
The stuff that he climbed, his passion, and just a funny guy. Like, you know, he was so much funny. He could, like, I matched his personality. We like to sing together and, you know, mm-hmm. just be stupid.
Yeah.
You know, just enjoying life. And the day he passed away, it was a sad day.
Yeah.
Like, it really was. I went up a couple times and rode with him, and I did a climb on my 2011, and he's like, you got it. And when I made it all the way up, dude, he was so like
just jacked.
Oh, my Lord, dude. I'm like, hey, relax, dude. I mean, it was a cool climbing on him, dude. He's trying to hug you and jump on you. And, you know, it was cool. Now looking back, you know, he's just excited for someone to do something. Like, way to go, man. Yeah.
There's one in particular that I always remember where he's going. And I mean, it's like, it looks straight up. And he actually comes over the cornice, right?
On
like
the VMAX.
He hits that cornice and he just like throws the sled up. And then, like, he lands on top, too, and he just gets up top, and he's just, like, jacked.
Jazzed.
Yeah, absolutely jacked. And, like, you're looking at this just even on a video, you can tell how steep this is. And it's insane. Yeah, just to see him so jacked on that is, like, yeah, that's why we ride right there is that excitement.
That was back in the day when they had choppers, when they'd have choppers. And, boy, he was like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. You know, and he had – so it was my first time there when he would pick people to do certain things.
Hey guys, welcome to Sled Talk. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I would like to take a second of your time and introduce this season's title sponsor is Bikeman Performance. So they've decided to jump on board and help push the podcast. And if you're unaware, Bikeman is the elite level when it comes to aftermarket performance parts on your sled. So be sure to check out their site, link in the description. And without further ado, let's jump into the show.
You know, like I remember him picking something one time and it was solid ice. He's like, Smasher, jump this. And I was like, jump what? He's like, jump that. I'm like, dude, I'm not jumping that solid ice. He's like, you can't jump that. I'm like, no, man. Like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm solid. He's like, it's a bad idea. I'm like, yeah, it's a real bad idea. Like, this is not working. But, you know, just his brain. He was just so passionate. His movies were fun. It's a sad day. I'm like, I miss him and his dressing, the way he dressed, and his pajama bottoms and his long hair. Yeah. And it was a cool time though. I meant to be in two of his films and ask me to come up and film with him was something spectacular.
Without a doubt.
Certainly.
It was cool.
That. Yeah. Did you ever get a chance to ride with Dan Treadway at all? You know who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you get a chance to ride with him? No.
I never did. Old Treadway, boy, that boy would send it.
I was going to say, that guy, like, he reminded me a lot of the Crazy Canadian, but he wouldn't only send it on his sled. He would send it on skis, too. Like, just an all-around, like,
yeah. Be crazy.
Drilling junkie.
Yeah,
Jamma, pretty much.
And now I think he's pretty much chill. I think I was just talking to someone.
Well, Dan passed, but Daryl, his brother, is still alive. But Dan Treadway, he's gone.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. No, I was thinking of, maybe it was. Yeah, you're right.
But, yeah, I think it is today. He passed, one year ago, 2 years ago now.
Really?
Yeah. Wild stuff. But another I feel like maybe not innovator, but just someone that like pushed the envelope, right? Like just sent some nasty, nasty things. Yeah, and I feel like I know for me, like when I saw some of his drops, I was just like, oh my God, this guy's a real deal. Like, this guy doesn't joke around. This is crazy.
I think he's got one in Sled Next where it's solid powder.
Yeah, yep.
That was sick.
Yeah.
Like it's a solid drop.
It's a nasty drop. It's huge. Yeah.
There's a bunch of guys out there that have done just, you know, Chris Brown.
Yeah.
He's another guy that I hung out with, a great guy. Like, just a good dude, fun, happy to be alive, and what he's done with his career is pretty cool. Like, I've always wanted to get up to ride with him in that area. I've never been up there in Whistler.
Whistler? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I've never been to Whistler. That was Whistler and Revelstoke. I've had two chances to go to Revelstoke, and I missed that opportunity, so I'm hoping before I leave this earth that I get a chance to go up there.
You've never been up to
Revelstoke? No. I was supposed to go. And we decided at the last second, me and my buddy were decided, you know what? We were already up in Castle Gar, and we had been riding all day, and we were supposed to take the ferry. And Jim Phelan had said, hey, come up. And we backed out. We should have gone.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where the extra 3 hours, like if it was me now, I'd go.
Yeah.
I don't care if I didn't sleep 24 hours. Let's just go, man. We'll drive an hour and a half sleep, hour and a half sleep, get on the ferry, but whatever. But, that and Whistler. I would love to go to Whistler. I was supposed to go to Whistler one time with Darcy and Fatty. And it was during Christmas. I couldn't go, but to see their footage, you know, of that.
Yeah, just deep.
35 feet of powder where you can't even see, you know, it's ridiculous.
The whole day you're just shaking your head because you can't see.
I don't care if you can't see. It would just be epic to go up there and do that.
Yeah. Does he do clinics?
Yeah.
What's his?
What is he?
He's out of Whistler. I Chris feel like Brown's, I've seen him. I don't remember what his is, but.
What is his?
Was that a?
It was a Gachu.
Oh, there it is.
What? I can't believe. Whoa, almost took a digger.
Just messed up the shot. Dude.
Now it's right on me.
Oh, bro, you moved that thing a foot.
almost broke the
black magic, dude.
Oops.
Down goes Frazier. Whistler. What is his? Oh my Lord.
I can't remember what his Instagram is. But I do remember
Ride Whistler. Oh yeah. Jeez, yeah, yeah. Ride Whistler Adventure. Yeah, I want to go ride with Chris, you know, and I'd get invited up there by Fatty. Him and Fatty were pretty good friends, and never made it happen. So I'm not dead yet, though. I got a few more years.
You better.
Got that 12 backflips in a row.
Dude, I wonder if this guy is at all related to him. Ryan Brown?
Chris has
I've talked to Ryan quite a bit on Instagram, and we have an open invite to go ride in Whistler.
Oh, maybe
with him.
I don't think so.
Maybe not. I don't know. I think he's our age.
There's a lot of people in the industry, man.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I guess, like, speaking on a lot of people in the industry, can you, like, speak a little bit on maybe the snow shows? I know. Like when I grew up as a, like, younger, I guess, going to the snow shows was like a really, really big thing, right? Like, a lot of people were there, even in the parking lot, you know, people were selling stuff inside in the expos. It was like crazy. Now, you know, you go and it seems like it's kind of declined a little bit, but,
yeah, you spoke on that earlier. Yeah.
What do you think about that? Like, walk me through maybe, the progression of snow shows.
So back in the day, I mean, it was big.
Yeah.
Snow shows were big. I mean, that was, you know, there was before social media and before a lot of online sales, before a lot of the snowmobiles were having aftermarket. So everything was still aftermarket. Now everything, sleds are coming with so much of it. I remember better boards. You guys remember better boards? I mean, you know, the better
boards.
Yeah. Running boards that would be put on sleds afterwards. I mean, that was a big thing. Then they, you know, players went to a better board. And then just, you know, turbos and pipes and grips and bars and, I mean, everything just seemed kind of progress. And, you know, with the dying, with the evolution of Insta famous, I call it, or social media, I mean, it just, videos just kind of died out. Nobody wanted to see, you know, wait for the next year. I mean, you can see it now.
Yeah, instant gratification.
Yep. And a lot of people are posting stuff right now instead of waiting for the movie. I mean, even myself, I'll see, you know, I'll have a good clip and I'm like, well, I'll post that now. You know, that gets me instant gratification right now rather than waiting in a movie.
A dopamine hit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, you put it in a video and only, you know, like 200 people see it, where you put it on an Insta-famous and, you know, how many it takes off and you get 200,000 views or 200,000 likes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little bit better. So I just think, you know, the shows, you know, like for Denver, there's a lot of people that go to football games. Seattle was also another big one. You know, there's Seattle football, so people would, you know, skip that. I think Heydays is big because, you know, you've got the swap meet, and it's just a big, and that's right at the beginning. Everybody's hype. Everybody, so it's like
high energy, yeah. Anticipation.
Yes. Yeah. And it's big. You know, you get the grass drags and all the new stuff is being released. And then
everyone's
after,
there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And after Heydays, let's see, that's September, October. So the next one would be Denver. After Denver, you would get,
Puyallup, I think is
Puyallup, and then Seattle, and then, you know, then Spokane, Boise. And then Boise. So, you know, they just kind of just died off, unfortunately. And I think a lot of the vendors, you know, a lot of the vendors aren't going anymore because they were losing their rear end.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, it costs so much to do it. And it's a lot to drive there and to set up and just the amount of energy that it takes. And, you know, it's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. So I think, you know, I don't see Heydays going anywhere. Heydays is just too big.
Yeah.
It's too big. But after that, you know, everything's been released, and you can order everything online, and then to go to pay to go into a snow show. Although Utah snow show, the Snow West snow show, is still pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like
Utah's a good show. I know a lot of athletes still show up to that. I know a lot of us go and they dirt bike, so there's still a lot of people there for that one.
Isn't there one in West Yellowstone? Like at the end of snowmobile season, it's not a snow. Is it a snow show, or is it a? I felt like there was something out of West Yellowstone. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but.
There was something up there. They were talking about it.
I thought Snow West did something.
There might be. Yeah. Like later in the season.
Yeah.
Like
almost, I would say maybe this time, if not a month or so ago, I feel like, they would run something there, but, you feel like that's kind of like a double-edged sword where, you know, social media is that instant gratification. And you can literally reach out to anybody, right? But you don't have that FaceTime, like that personal experience to actually meet people. Where I know, like, I've gone to snow shows, gone to like the Thunderstruck booth or the Boondockers booth or whoever it is, like the 509 booth, right? And got to see the athletes or like even just, you know, talk to them for a little bit, which is cool, right? You know, you kind of feel like, you know, you've met them. You can
get
say
a poster,
like,
oh, some stickers. Yeah, awesome.
But you know, now that that's kind of diving away, like, I feel like social media might be a little double-edged sword on that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me sad because, you know, I enjoyed meeting people. There's a lot of people from, like, the Denver, the Salt Lake, even heydays now. I mean, it had been 8 years, 7 years we've been doing that show. The first couple of years were really hard. I mean, it was a really hard show. And then once we got, you know, involved with Climb More, it was cool to build that, and people would come back and, how was your year, to mm-hmm. talk to you about a sled or have more questions for you. So that was kind of nice. And so, you know, now it's more like, I don't know, I guess you're more like a zoo animal, you know, you just people see on Instagram, and it's not as personable.
Yeah. Sure.
And I do miss that, but going to heydays, I mean, I still do have people that come and say hi, that come from Utah or from Denver, that come to the Heyday show, snow show, and say hi. There's a lot of people at the Denver show that would come to see Voke, and they still come to say hi or see what's new, mm-hmm. but it's definitely died off a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot of kids, you know, there was a gentleman that came by, and I used to see him and his son every year. I mean, this still breaks my heart. And then, he came, and I was like, hey, how you doing? And I was like, where's his son? And to find out his son passed away, it broke my heart. Like, it made me hurt. But to know him and his son for so long, you know, for not so long, but for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, mm-hmm. and then not see that family together, that meant that, you know, or a daughter. Like, there was a father and a son that used to come to all our shows, and now I see her on Facebook, and she's all grown up. You know, it's like you're almost like a teacher.
That's wild, yeah.
Like, yeah, it was cool. Like, mm-hmm. I love that aspect of being at the snow shows and seeing people.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
Like I said, I'm a people collector.
Yeah, for sure. Well, on the flip side, the positive, you know, I mean, you're sitting here because of social media.
Yeah, much
smaller scale, obviously, right?
Yeah.
But there's, you know, back to the double edge, there's pros and cons to all of it. But, I wonder if, like, the shows will ever come back in the amount that they were, or if it's something that'll die off just because of social. And
I think it'll die. I think it just transforms, right? Like everything in the world, things are gonna evolve. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
I don't know what it'll come to, just because the, you know, and I wonder, because, you know, like, okay, so when I got into it, we had Jim Phelan, we had with Thunderstruck, you know, you had Thunderstruck, you had the Shones from Two Cool Air Events, you know, they were there. You had Boondockers, they were, you know, Boondockers video, and then you had Boondockers Turbos. You had Timber Sled was there. You had, you know, SLP is there. You know, you had a lot of these guys. Well, now Thunderstruck's gone. Mm-hmm. Two Cool Air Events isn't showing up to a lot of the shows anymore. I mean, how much longer before, you know, Voke is like, yeah, it's just not worth it, and then he dies out. Mm-hmm. Zebros, I know they've pulled out a couple of the snow shows. I mean, so people start pulling out. And so I think it was three years ago, when Jim told me he was done. Like, that was hard for me to understand. I'm like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about that. Like, we're here 1 year. Next year, it's gone.
Yep.
Like, so take it for what it is right now. This could be the last year, and you never think, oh, I'll see you next year. Hey, it's been a good, I mean, I can remember going around the snow show and say, hey, I love you. You know, it's good seeing you. Yeah. We'll see you next year. Yeah, we'll see you next year. And then
done.
Mm-hmm. Or you say you see somebody next year, and, you know, Davidoff. Yeah. Hey, I'll see you next year. And then he's gone. So, man, it's here now. Take it. Don't forget it. You know, live in the moment of it, because it's gone. And I think just eventually, you know, these, I know people take it over, but to what?
It's just different.
To what aspect they're going to, you know, what involvement are they going to have? Mm-hmm. You know, these names have been built big time. Voke is a name that's been built. SOP is a name that's been built. You know, Thunderstruck is pretty much gone. Boondockers is gone. So who's the next carrier of this? And what are they going to follow? What's their dream? Mm-hmm. What's their passion? Yeah. So hopefully Sled Send.
Yeah.
That's sends the name. It forward.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I like it.
We'll go get a tattoo and put it on my.
Oh, yeah. Did you call him?
What a loser. We were going to get tattoos tonight. Dang. Oh, come on. Oh, boy.
So with you going through that whole sequence, right, of like Team Summit to Boondockers to seeing the evolution of that, now with those died out, what's the evolution for you look like with everything and social media? Like, how do you see this going?
Iron Dog.
There you go.
You know, I'm not ready to go. I'm not ready to go. This keeps me alive. I'm definitely gonna, you know, have to step up my game this next year. Once I get my body fixed, I'm hoping that will give me back that drive. Just with the pain all the time, it just definitely has worn on me. But I'm hoping once I get this pain fixed, I'll get out there, and I'm looking forward to it. I had a lot of fun with Matt Ince and Justin Cowlett. You know, I've ridden with Matt a long time. That kid's come a long way. He's a phenomenal rider. He's a good person. He's got a good family. The business that he's got is amazing. Justin
Mountain Cowlett, skills?
Yes.
Yep.
Justin Cowlett's a great fit. He's a good person. You know, he's got a good heart. Riding with both of them, I'd like to do that. Anything to help Matt and grow his business. If people want to come ride with me, you know, an old guy, and come out and have fun. You know, I'm not a zoo animal. I'm not going to do any goofy tricks or anything.
Sure, jump it.
Yeah. I'll do some jumps and stuff. But you know, I'll come out and ride with them. I like to do that. The Iron Dog is something that I would like to do once more, maybe twice more. I told my wife that, you know, the bucket list was to run it once. Well, now here we are twice. So as long as everything falls into place. But I'd like to keep doing it. I've also been filming with Native Earth Productions. It's called Brapsky.
I was going to bring that up. I know it's in your bio. I was curious what that is.
Just his name's Carl and I think that's his name. Last name, I can never pronounce it. But look that up.
I am.
Yeah, look that up. Take a
Native Earth Products.
Yeah, that's
Productions.
Him.
Yep.
Yeah. Check him out.
Oh, he's got a little bit of everything, huh?
Oh, he's a madman on skis. This kid is good. And he's high energy. He's fun. He's a happy-go-lucky.
See, that's the thing. I feel like we're going to kind of go off a little side tangent here. But I feel like skiers and snowmobilers or cross-country skiers or snowboarders or whatever, and snowmobilers kind of clash maybe a little more than they should. Because I see a lot of skiers that utilize, right, or snowboarders, whatever it is, utilize sleds to get into the backcountry, and I mean they go and rip those sleds,
and that's
as well as like they do skis, and it's like, dude, you're naturally talented at this too, like,
yep. And that's where that's where Carl's at, like, yeah. Carl has done, that's why he asked me to be a part of his film. I went and filmed with him last year, and so this year I went and filmed with him again, and you know, whatever I can do. I mean, he's an amazing skier, but the dude is bad. Mm-hmm. He's bad to the bone. He's got McRae. He's another good one. He's got, I can't remember his name. I just met him, but he's a hell of a photographer. And we went up and did some filming out of Utah. And the stuff that they're wanting to do and the stuff that we filmed this year was pretty sick. Mm-hmm. We just need to get together a little bit more. His schedule's super busy. He's in Alaska for like 2.5 months skiing some gnarly stuff up there. McRae's also been out doing quite a bit of stuff. But yeah, so filming with them has been a lot of fun too. So we'll see where that goes. You know, he's trying to get, you know, skiers and sledders into to get good thing, and
sure,
he liked my energy. So I'll ride with him and do whatever he wants. You know, they ride out of Stanley, Idaho. A lot, excuse me, and so it's one of my favorite places. So yep. We'll see what happens next year. We didn't have a whole lot of time this year; it just didn't match up because of the Iron Dog. But yeah. I've got more and more time on my hands now that my kids have pounded sand. They don't want anything to do with, yeah. They don't want anything to do with me anymore. Yeah, they're like, Dad, you're old. We're out. Oh, so as long as I keep riding and showing them I've got what it's got, then hopefully they'll stick around. Yeah. Anytime they want a shot at the title, you know where to find me, boys. Yeah.
So you've brought his name up several times. You just mentioned him. I want to go into it a little bit more. So your relationship and involvement with Matt Ince. Talk about how that all came together. Sounds like you've known him and been friends with him for a long time.
Yeah, I've been friends with Matt a long, long time with his business. I mean, he's invited me out. I've lost so many times, so many counts that he's invited me out. I just never had time because I've been filming with Boondockers or coaching or whatever. So this, not this year, but the last year, I was supposed to come out. I got COVID. I got so sick. I couldn't make it, so we had to cancel it. And then this year, you know, he had some guys that came out and they paid to come out and ride with us and met him. And what a great group of people. I mean, just the diversity between, you know, you had young kid that was on the throttle, just tape it to the bar, and this kid was out of like holy cow, dude! I was like, he's gonna die, like he's in crazy. You know, a couple other guys that were on skidoos that I love. These two, they were just like two peas in a pod. I like these guys a lot. And then I had a couple other guys that, you know, had known me for a while and just wanted to come ride. So I'd like to go out and do more with Matt. I mean, it's a lot of fun. He's a great teacher. He's a lot of fun to be around. He's a phenomenal rider. Justin's a very quiet individual. So if I can go out there and attract people to want to come ride with me and just, you know, be a part of Matt Ince's mountain skills and do stuff, man, I'm more than happy to make a 16-hour drive to go out there and help Matt. Sure. And, you know, have some fun, meet new people. That's what it's about.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what door that's going to open next. Maybe I want to go to Colorado and stay with my family. And someone's like, hey, I got an open house. You want to, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. If I can give something to you and you can give something back, cool. Yeah. If not, whatever. At least I met a friend.
Yep.
So, anything that Matt's built himself, like to see where he's come and or see where he's been and where he's gone now with it. It's, I mean, he's got himself a beautiful lodge. Jesse runs, her food, everything, his kids, you know, their shop out there, like his shop out there for climb clothing, dude. They've got it all.
Seen videos.
Oh my Lord. Like there was this hat. Yeah. You couldn't get this hat anywhere. They had extra one. And of course I forgot to buy it. I wanted the all black one.
Hell yeah.
I bought my wife a flannel hoodie that you couldn't get and they had it. I was like, oh, and then
the one she was wearing last night.
Yeah. That one. Yeah. How did you know?
Dude,
climb catches my eye no matter what. I was in Austin, Texas of all places. I was flying home and there this guy came right behind me in the baggage checking with a bunch of climb suitcases and stuff. And so I immediately like walked over to him. I was like, yo, do you ride?
Are you going to Chile?
Yeah.
And, he's like, who are you? He was like, I said, like, do you ride sleds or something? He was like, no, I think he was an engineer for the Razor, Polaris Razor or something.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so any, you know,
yeah.
Anytime you see climb, my eyes are just automatically
drawn. Weird thing is, the only time I saw her wearing it, that was all she was wearing.
Oh, no.
I mean, I know I went to bed early, but you said there was only one key. Yeah.
I mean, hey, you know, like, actually
good for you. Good for you.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. That's hilarious.
No, so,
His store.
He's just like, he's got everything. I mean, seriously, everything you can think of. There's a whole wall that's probably the half the size of that wall, and it's all gloves. Mm-hmm. Just gloves. You need gloves. You need hats. You need beanies. You need shirts, jackets that you can't get from Snow Big Deal or Climb.
Shout out.
Yeah. you get a hold of Matt Ince, and he's got it. Like, their online store is it's good. Yeah. They've got parts up the yin-yang. It was really cool. Like, I had no idea to go out there and see. His lodge is beautiful. I mean, it's well organized. It's beautiful. It's pretty. The amount of work that him and Justin put in, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot. And that they get up every day and they go do this. And you know, I helped for 4 days, and you know, that's not my forte. But
sure,
I was tired. You know, at 11,000 feet coming. Coming from the Iron Dog at sea level, and then going up there. Like, I'm like, so. The first day I went riding with Justin and Matt and their other buddy. Oh my God, I forgot his name. Adrian or something. Alfred. Anyways, we left. He's gonna kill me. I'm done. Just call me up. You can yell at me.
Give him
whatever. Crap. Yeah. We leave the parking lot and within like 300 feet, these two, Justin and Matt, are in this nasty boulder section, and I just come from the Iron Dog. I just been on my mountain sled. I was back on my turbo sled. This is only the third time I've ridden it. It was had low bars. Usually I ride mid, you know. So I'm like, okay, these guys are just goofing around. I'm gonna get used to my sled. No. They just started riding this whole section. I'm like, okay, you know. So after a few minutes, I'm like, okay. So here we go. I go into the trees. You know, I'm getting ready. You know, I'm trying to get getting loose. I'm like, whatever. And we ride in there for a little bit, and then it just gets nastier and nastier, and the, you know, the snow's different. You know, I'm huffing and puffing, and then we they want to go up this damn waterfall.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, the waterfall. Now to watch it on Insta Famous and see it on GoPro, look, it looks like nothing. Yeah. Like, I'll give you that. Like, it looks like nothing. So I hear Matt, like, oh, I'm going to go, and then he calls me up. He's like, hey, Smash, I didn't make it. If you take this line and go straight up the gut, blah, blah, you'll make it. So I come through the trees, and I'm looking. I'm like, what the hell are we doing? Like, I'm thinking, okay, here, this is Volk. Your sled's done, stud. And, you know, Matt's like, get out of the way. There's a down tree hanging over on some rocks, and you got to go up. And Matt took the one good line, and so you got to go in between the rocks. And Matt's, you know, 2 foot, 3 foot trench on that 3.25, and you got to go up. I'm like, well, what's above it? And they're like, well, we don't know. We've never been up it.
You go find out.
Yeah. So he's like, you got it. And I'm like, all right. So I go, and man, I make it up this thing, and it's all gnarly. And I mean, it doesn't look bad, and the snow is forgiving. I mean, you could let off the throttle and go, but it was pretty nasty. I'm going to give it to myself. It was pretty nasty. So I get up in there, and I'm like, woohoo, I'm number one. Well, then the next guy gets wasted right in the middle of it and just mashes it all up. So I come back down. Well, of course, always going back down to help someone never turns out good. We all know that.
Yep.
You go back to help someone that's stuck, it just always ends up into a crap show every time. So I go back down, and of course, I go all the way down. We get the guy out. I go up second to last, and then it just went downhill from that. I ended up getting stuck for like an hour and buried, and Matt and Justin take off up the mountain, and they come back down, and Matt wants to go up another drainage, and Matt's like, Smash, you want to go up this drainage? And I didn't want to, you know, wimp out. I was like, yeah, you know, and I'm thinking, dude, I'm done. Like, my arms are done. I've been stuck for an hour lifting my sled up. You know, it's 10,000 feet. I'm worked. You know, so I was like, yeah, whatever. And so I see Matt take off, and I see Justin go, and he's working the hell out of the sled to get up this. And I was like, nope, I'm out. I'm done. Like, I was done. Time out. And that was into that first day. And then, you know, the second day and third day, just after a while, it just got a little tiring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
But good times, man. So if you guys are looking for something, hit up Matt and go out there. It's a good time.
Get rowdy. Care.
Yeah, he gets.
That'll be fun.
He likes to do those bow tie things.
Does he?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he's into those bow ties. Oh, him and Justin, like, get out of here. Go away. I'm old school.
That's funny. So did you have anything to touch on that? So I just want another friend story. Because like I told you earlier, this is how I actually found out about you, is through Ben Burke. So how did that relationship all come to? I actually watched his video of, I think, like the first time he went out to ride with you. But anyways, touch kind of a little bit about how that friendship came together.
Mr. Burke, he actually met my dad. We were at a show thing at like Sierra Avalanche thing in Reno. It was at one of the breweries, and my dad started talking to this kid. And so I started talking to Ben, and he just kind of told me what he was about and blah, blah, blah. And you know how you kind of meet people and you're like, okay, he seems like a cool cat and blah, blah, blah. And so I like to night ride. Mm-hmm. I really like to night ride. Like, I want to go out night riding so hard. It's difficult. You know, it really tests your ability. So I didn't really have a lot of people that I night ride with or anybody. So this one time I wanted to go for a night ride, and I called Ben and say, hey, you know, he gave me his number that night. I was like, hey, you like to ride? And he's like, yeah, you know, I do this and do that. And, you know, I was like, whatever, you know, I was looking for a new partner to ride with. And so I called Ben and said, hey, I want to go for a night ride. He's like, okay. Well, he showed up, sled was gassed, you know, avalanche beacon was charged, probe, shovel, sled was in perfect condition. You know, everything was tip top. Well, of course, my radio was dead. I don't know. I forgot something else, but he was 100% ready. I'm like, all right, this kid's on point. So we go riding, and, you know, it got a little hairy, and he started getting stuck a little bit. And I was like, you know, no big deal. I was like, we got him out. And, you know, I was like, all right, hey, you know, this is getting a little hairy. Let's get out of here. It was snowing pretty good. It was blowing. And we get down to these flats, and I get a little sideways. I don't recognize where we're at. And he's like, do you know where we're at? You know, I think this is how the story goes. And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. And so I'm looking and figuring it out. And, you know, I knew we weren't lost. I knew we weren't going to die. And Ben was like, you know what we're doing? I was like, yeah, we're good. We're good. Finally, we get out. But not one time, even I think he got stuck three times. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ben. But not one time did he complain. Like, he was a solid trooper. Mm-hmm. He was happy. He's like, sorry. I'm like, don't apologize. Let's go. He gets unstuck. We go back to the truck. I was like, thank you very much for coming. And then every time I would call him, no matter, he was like, where are we going? He would just let me lead. And no matter what I took that kid into, no matter how times he got stuck or what it, like, one time he got stuck so bad we had to take his ski off to get him out. Like, it was that bad. And he calls it Smasher's Hellhole is what he calls it. And he's like, I want to go back in there. And he's always up for an adventure, you know, no matter what.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
He seems like a stud.
He's a great kid to ride with. Yeah. His pictures are phenomenal. Like, if I say, hey, Ben, I need a picture, he's like, let's go get it. You know, if there's anything, like, he's up to exploring. He takes me out of my normal areas because I usually ride in my normal areas. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been riding down south in this area that he's been talking about taking me to, just that I'm done for the season pretty much. And he's been down there riding with one of his friends. And I'm like, man, I want to go. He's like, I told you, let's go. You know, so he's just one of these people. Like, if I told, you know, when I called him and said, hey, I want to go to Utah, I took him to Utah and it got handed to him. But not once did he complain. You know, he's one of those people that, you know, you go out, you get stuck, it's miserable, but you won't hear him complain.
Yeah. Oh, we're snowmobiling, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know, he's like, hey, I'm, you know, and not, I can't say that I ever heard him say sorry for getting stuck. You know, he's like, hey, I'm stuck again. He'll work him, you know, get himself out. He's very mechanically inclined. He's willing to help a hand. If I want to go somewhere, I'm like, hey, Ben, you want to go here? He's like, yeah, I'm in. Yeah.
Let's go.
We went to Stanley, I think, back-to-back weekends. And I think he held his own. You know, I mean, he struggled a couple of times, but he didn't complain. I think that's one of the biggest things for snowmobilers. As long as you don't complain, I mean, everybody gets stuck.
Yeah.
If you're not getting stuck, you're not trying. Yep. Yep. And for him to keep progressing like that and just be like, whatever, you know, I mean, his sled's, yeah, and he's always, you know, everything's always in tip-top shape. You know, his sled's always in good shape. He's always, you know.
He seems very, very meticulous with
very
mechanical stuff.
Yep. And
I pay close attention to his stories.
Yeah, his gear's in good shape. He's got knowledge. You know, he's a fun kid to be around. Like, you know, like he's my guy to ride with in Reno. If I can't ride with him, you know, there's a few other people I ride with, but Ben. Hey, Ben, it's storming out. You can't see past your hand. You want to go? Yeah, I'll go.
Already loaded.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I call him like midday. Hey, you want to go for a night ride? He's like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. Let's go. Let's go do this or let's go explore this. We have this other one that's we went riding a few years back, and I'm not going to do a lot of detail with it, but we dropped into the zone that – we had no busy being in. It got real nasty. Like, it was the second year I met him. It got real nasty, and he was eating some almonds. And I was like, hey, stud, you might want to chill out on those almonds. We might need those later. And he's like, you serious? I'm like, yeah, I don't. Like, we're, you know, we're in it now. You know, because you'd come up, like, in the trees, you come up over these ridges, and you could see sheer mountain, like cliffs. Well, cliffs mean that there's a drainage. When there's a drainage, that means there's a river. So, you know, I'd never been in there a whole lot, and so I was like, you know, chill out. And after we got out of this thing, Ben was like, that was amazing. So we call it the Blackbird, Blackbird Trail to Hell is what we called it.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's what we call it. We've never been back, but we want to go. Like, we want to go do it one more time.
Yeah.
And it's to lead. There's a fine line in between wilderness boundaries, and it's just a sliver that goes through this canyon. And so we want to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we will this year, this next year, Ben, we're in.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, so that's how I met Ben. And, you know, his photography is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous. He got Boondocker's 16 cover shot.
Nice. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
That's sick. Sick. Change the topic a little bit. Jeff, you said 30 minutes left on the board? Yeah. Okay. What was your worst, if it wasn't the hand, what was your worst injury that you've ever had from riding sleds? If not the hand one that you were telling when you got down in the waterfall,
the hand, I busted open my chin once, but I think the hand and knock on wood. Oh, I took a, yeah, I took a tree branch to the chest 2 years ago. That was kind of brutal. Like I didn't see rough. It. Yeah, that hurt a lot. Like I thought it impaled me. It hit me right on my climb, and I thought it stuck in me. My buddy Nick Reedy was with me. I was like, I need help. But you know, I could feel. But it knocked the wind out of me. That hurt a lot. But I think the hand was probably that. And man, I just hate to say anything. I think the hand and the chin was probably a couple of the best ones. Yeah, for the most part, I mean, the scariest was when Matt got buried in that avalanche.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
that was probably the worst. But the hand was pretty painful. Yeah. That whole day was painful. I'd like to stricken that from the record. From the Smasher lifetime.
Yeah.
That whole day, sure. We just need to stricken that from.
Yeah. Delete.
Delete. Yeah. That was probably the worst though. Garbage. Yeah. Delete garbage.
Another random question. You've mentioned Stanley, Idaho a couple times. Maybe that's the answer, but if you could only ride one place for the rest of your life, where would it be and why?
Well, I'd have to stay Stanley. I really would. I think Stanley's the closest thing that I've ever come to that looks like Alaska. The town itself is a great town. There's a great group of people. The Mountain Village Resort up there is lovable. The people are great. The food is great. The hot springs are great. I got some other friends that live up there that caretake, and they're good people. The scenery, the amount of area that you can ride, and just to go up and sit. I mean, you could go up and sit and stare at that scene that you saw. I could sit there up on observation and look at that mountain peak forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous on a bluebird day. The snow's good. It's quiet up there. I just think there's so much. There's a lot of riding area up there that you could ride. I mean, McCall's another good one to ride. And some of the hidden spots that some of the locals up there have showed me. But I just think that Stanley is probably the closest thing to Alaska, that the riding is even better than Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks like Alaska. I mean, you have tree riding, you have drainage riding, you have drops, you have
all the flavors.
Trees, yeah. You name it, steep, deep. Yeah, it's pretty sick. So I think that would probably be, that would be my number one area.
Gotcha. Yeah. Looks fun.
Yeah.
To say the least.
You got any other
intimidating
rapid fire random questions for our boy?
Probably not rapid fire random questions.
No. Are you sure? Might be the last episode for a while.
That's okay.
Smasher.
No, nothing off the top of my head. Maybe after this, I'll just hit record on my phone. That way we can record everything and then just, you know, chop it
we're in. Out of dinner.
We'll mouth it. Yeah.
As long as the surgery goes good, I'll come back for another one.
I think it'd be fun to go down there to you.
We got
to
do a ride together.
Or meet in Stanley or, I don't know, something.
Let's go to Stanley.
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
We'd go to Stanley and stay at the Mountain Village and go ride all day and then go have a nice big ribeye or their prime rib.
Mm.
Oh,
that sounds so good.
And then go sit in the hot springs.
Yeah.
And stare at the Sawtooth Mountains, even to go up there in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hits different sitting in the hot springs, though, when it's snowing. Not that I've been to Stanley, but been in hot springs when it's just puking snow out too, and it's pretty amazing.
And it gets so cold up there. It gets cold. You know, I think we went riding up there one day. It was 30 below when we left the parking lot, like 30 below, you know, and it was cold getting until we got into the trees. Once you got in the trees and then, you know, your hands, you can't feel them, and then you get stuck and you warm up and then you start going.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was that day. That day that you guys saw that's in that video. Yeah, I think that was the day it was 30 below.
Crazy cold, just, but makes everything nice.
Oh, so crisp. No one could get their side panels off their sled to put oil in. It was frozen.
I think I think Fatty was doing that. Yeah, he took a torch to his.
Yeah. And then to pull it over your sled, all funk, funk, funk. And then when you start, it's all making all sorts of noise. You're like, oh, we're not riding today.
Holy smokes.
Are you going to start your truck and it's all...
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah, no, it's
that'll happen to Chevys though. But
hey, now
that's funny. I had to get it.
I well, never think I've seen a Dodge up there though.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's
wait until this year. You'll see one up there.
I think it's time to wrap this episode up. Smasher, is there any parting words of wisdom that you would like to end off the episode with?
Love it and live it. Love it and live it, man.
There you go.
Get out there and do it.
It's a good mission.
Yeah. We got like I always say, man, we got one shot at this. This is it. This is all you've got. Yeah. So the more doors you open, the better it is. The more, you know, I can't thank you guys enough for having me up here and everything you guys did for me. This is cool. This has been a lot of fun. Yeah. I mean, I'm sad that it's
It's gone by fast.
Yeah, it has. Like it's 7:10 already. It's over. Really? Like this is my weekend.
Yeah.
Like, can we just stay here? Like, is there a pause button like on this? Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been a fun. Like, this is just. This is cool. I appreciate it. Thank you guys very much. Hope everybody else enjoys watching it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Some good episodes. Yeah, we're honored to have you.
Absolutely.
Can't wait to ride with you and have you back on the podcast somewhere in the future.
Yeah, Iron Dog next year. We'll see you guys in Alaska and Anchorage, February. What is it? February 15th. We'll see you guys up there.
There we go.
I'm gonna send in some. I'm gonna talk to the Iron Dog and say, hey, we need to get these sled send guys up here.
As long as you'll be my Valentine's date, I'll be up there for you.
Ooh, we'll talk after the show.
Well, that's good stuff. Sled Talk listeners, thank you guys for tuning in. It's been a fun part one, part two, and part three with Chris Kaltenbacher. Shay, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
As always, and to listeners and viewers, I've said it many times, but immense amount of gratitude to you guys for tuning in, regardless of what platform you guys are on. I appreciate you guys being here listening, especially all the way to this point. This was, I don't know, this is probably our longest episode, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well,
today. Sled Talk listeners, thank you guys for tuning in and being here, and we will catch you guys on the next one.
I got
your Sled Talk question.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think I have a couple of them, I guess.
We'll have to stitch this in because I'm not doing that outro again.
Oh, that's okay. So I think the first one would be, what's your favorite either movie, right? Whether it be, Boondockers, 509, Thunderstruck, and like which one was it? And it doesn't have to be stuck to a movie, because I know some people probably haven't seen some of the movies. So if it's not that, you know, who is your favorite person to see on social media, like YouTube or whatever, like Muskoga or anyone else like that, right? And then second question would be, if you have seen the movies, who's been your favorite segment? Like what movie and who was it and then why? Oh yeah. And Slednecks too. I don't know how I can forget about them. Forget those guys Slednecks. Go hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Question. Yeah. That's,
do you have one?
Yeah. You know, actually I liked, Jeff Kyle.
Oh yeah.
Back in the day, what it was, Down in a Hole was his song. I want to say it was Slednecks, 12, I think. I don't know. Jeff Kyle always just, dude, he had some massive sins, and just that Down in a Hole song. And there's just one clip, and I've always wanted this shot and I've never got this shot, but the cameraman's below and he comes off this peak and he's jumping. It just looks cool. It looks so cool. I think that's just a cool, mm-hmm. cool angle. And just a cool angle of someone's coming at you.
Yeah.
Everybody always says it doesn't look as big, but I just liked the shot. But it was Down in a Hole was his song. And I think it was Slednecks 12, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think, was he one of the first people that rode with the camera like on his back? Yeah. I remember seeing a huge hole. Yeah.
Him and Cody.
Borchers?
Yeah, Brochers. Yeah.
I don't know how you say his last name. Sorry if I...
There was a bunch of guys. Callie Johnson. There was a lot of, like, those are the guys that I watched before I got in the film industry.
Did you ever ride with Brody Evans at all?
Nope.
No?
The only Slednick I ever rode with was Dan Gardner. No. I think Dan was it.
Yeah.
Because because of the Boondocker, you know, we always stuck together. Yep. It was always just us. So, but now that I'm venturing out, we'll see.
Sure.
We'll see. We're all getting old. We're a bunch of dinosaurs now. All the sled neck guys are all dinosaurs too. You know?
Oh. Yeah. Well,
cue outro again.
Yeah. No. do you have a sled talk question that you want to ask?
I don't know. That's still, I don't. You want me to think of one? I could try and think of one.
I mean, I usually make people.
Yeah. Oh, okay. What? Okay. Oh, yeah. Here we go. What would be your favorite aftermarket? What would be the one thing, if you could only do one thing to your sled, what would be the one thing you do? You could only do one thing, though. One thing. What would it be?
Muff pot.
Yes, Sled Talk listeners, let us know in the comments below the answer to that question. But I think it's fair that each of us need to answer that. My if I could only touch one thing, it would be suspension.
I can't say that. I can't say anything.
Why?
Because he asked the question.
Yeah, or? I got too many people. Too many people.
Oh boy! Oh boy!
All
right, Shane.
I'm sticking with it. Muff pot, man. I just leave everything stock and just some smokies or something. Yeah, I mean, like even this year, if it wasn't a muff pot, it'd be a finger throttle. That's it. That's all I've done to my sled this year too. It's just
don't listen to him.
Finger throttle, baby.
He drives a Dodge, apparently.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Moose gang, baby.
No, I can't say. I can't say. I got too many. There's just too many across the board.
Gotcha.
Get me in trouble.
Oh, I understand. Man. I understand.
I'd have to say a sled send Yeti.
There you go. Perfect. Awesome. Cool. Well, I'm not going to do that outro again. Jeff's just going to have to edit that.
Mix and match.
So remember on this last episode, Jeff, I already did the outro, and then we did sled talk questions. So you're just going to have to cut the questions and put it before my outro.
Cut.
Okay. Please. All right. We're done, skis.
Yeah.
Deuces.
100K on the Patek Philippe. Living life with no regrets. I can't. Designer when I get dressed. Hey. Summertime on winter fresh. Fresh. I put her legs behind her head. Night, night, she gonna bed. Bye-bye. Every day it's a new test. I just keep chasing these chicks.